You're listening to Art and Magic, and I'm your host, Devin Walls. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the show. Today, I have a really fun conversation for you with my dear friend, who I also call my art wife, Amanda Sandlin. In fact, it is mainly because of her that we have this episode today. So, to give you backstory on our friendship, we started talking and following each other, I think in 2017. And then during the pandemic, we really started talking a lot and started really supporting each other, both in art and business, by sending each other voice notes, like very regularly. And then we became really great friends from that. And so here we are now. But that being said, she's definitely the person that I am constantly talking to about what's coming up for us in our art and business. And naturally, a big part of that conversation for us is social media, what is and isn't working for us, where we're frustrated, where, you know, we might be feeling different from each other. And so naturally, as I've done more of TikTok in the past, I guess, year now, that has come up a lot for us. And in talking to her, she has constantly encouraged me to like teach a class on TikTok or at least do a podcast episode on TikTok. And my response has always been like, ugh, I don't want to talk about that. However, the truth of the matter is TikTok and social media in general has helped me in my business a lot just over the years and really in the past year and a half since I started using TikTok. And that has been a big part of what's allowed me more time in the studio, a little bit of less financial stress. And of course, this show is hopefully a resource for you all to think about your own income streams and the practicalities of being an artist as well. So it probably wouldn't be right for me to not talk about it at all. And so my deal with her was I would do an episode on TikTok if she came on and helped me talk about it. So I'm very grateful for her kind of fielding some questions to me and engaging in conversation about this and also bringing her perspective to the table, which is really nice to weave in because she's in a different spot, she's had a different experience, and she has different wisdom to share because of that. And so I think that you'll be able to find yourself in this conversation either on one side or the other or both sides. I hope it both gives you some like practical tips of how you can think about TikTok and social media and also gives you permission to not do this if you don't want to and to not take it super seriously and to above all focus on your art practice, which is what we come around to in the end. So before we get into it, I do actually have one big announcement that is new that you haven't heard yet. And that is that I am going to start offering some pre-chats on Patreon, including the pre-chat from this conversation. So anytime I have someone on the podcast, we usually do a little talk beforehand, whether that's just us catching up or, you know, getting into the topics we plan on discussing in the episode. And particularly for this season, because these are more collaborative conversations, that pre-chat kind of entails us like outlining the episode and spitballing things that we think we might want to talk about, sharing random stories, etc. And there are always so many gems that make it out in that conversation that never make it into the episode, and it always makes me really sad. So from time to time, when it feels appropriate, I'm going to start recording those and offering them for those on the $5 tier on Patreon. They are raw, unedited. You're probably going to hear random side stories and like us joking around and honestly the reality of what goes into planning some of these discussions. But you'll also hear a lot of little gems that are applicable to the topic we're discussing that didn't make it into the episode. So if you want access to that for today's conversation, plus a library of exclusive bonus episodes, plus early access to my work, and just supporting the show and my work in general, please head over to the Patreon, and that is linked in the show notes. So, if you don't already know her, Amanda Sandlin is known for vulnerable portrayals of interior landscapes across various media, primarily painting and sculpture. Her self-study of visual art began while working as a freelance graphic artist and living nomadically for many years. She's exhibited throughout the Western United States, worked with clients such as Maggie Rogers and Little Brown and Company, and has pieces held by collectors internationally. She lives and works in Boulder, Colorado. All right, so without further ado, I hope you enjoy this conversation I had with Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
So we are here today to talk about TikTok, mainly because of your encouragement for me to do an episode on this. So welcome and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Please share with us all of your wisdom.
Okay, well, before we get into that, maybe we can just both talk a little bit about, you know, our journey with TikTok, how we're relating to it, and like why, after many discussions behind the scenes, like why we're doing an episode on this, why we're going to talk about it. Do you want to start with your experience and just where you're at?
Well, my experience has just been mainly watching you blow up on TikTok and consequently Instagram, which I just feel like is so rare and just opposite of what so many artists are experiencing right now online, myself included. So yeah, I'm struggling with it. I mean, I feel like I'm somewhat getting into a little bit of a stride just from our conversations and our Monday co-working content chats that we do. But I still feel kind of stumped and like I'm just not getting a lot of traction on social media in general. So seeing you have a lot of success with it is super inspiring and makes me want to keep going, but it just feels very overwhelming. So
yeah,
I would like to talk about it, but
yeah. So for the people, like, for, and for context, like, how long have you been using TikTok and like, how have you been using it? Maybe we can just give a little.
Oh man. I mean, I picked it up pretty early on and I just did some random like one-off videos, but I have more consistently been using it probably over the last year. But it's been pretty sporadic. And I have another kind of business that I'm trying to prioritize over even my art stuff right now. So I've been using it more for that, just in the last like month or two.
Mm-hmm. Plug for Gentle Sentiments, by the way, which is your new illustration and design business and other things. What are you saying about it? Illustration, design, and are you saying like, and something else?
Right now I'm just saying that because
okay.
Eventually I hope to have some ceramic home good functional stuff on there, but that is still a ways away because I'm learning a lot and it's a mess. So illustration and design for now.
Yeah. 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 So just like shameless, I'm just going to shamelessly plug you. If y'all need like branding, design, anything like that, Gentle Sentiments is really good and cute and you have a really good style. So
thanks.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, for me, you know, it's funny when you're talking about when you started using it and you were like, I was, you know, you were an early adopter and like, I actually think though, I started because of you. I think you were the one that was like,
are you serious?
I think you were like, I'm just going to try it. And it was like a year ago and I was like, I refuse. Like I'm not adding another social platform to what I do, like, fuck that. And then I was just like, let's see what the kids are doing over here. Like, what is this? And then I just kind of started using it and we'll get more into this, but I was definitely just using it in the way I would use Instagram because I didn't like understand it or I didn't know much about it then. But I think that's why I originally got on it is because like you were talking about it.
Man, well,
I don't think
you are welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, thank you.
Just kidding. You need to teach me because yeah.
So yeah,
Okay, so the reason that, like, I guess, or like what's been going on for me is I didn't expect anything out of it really. And well, I guess I could tell that story now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just tell the story now. Yeah, I basically was kind of using it how you were. Like, I think you were like, I'm gonna do a challenge with someone in my Eleanor in your studio.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I should try that. And like, I wasn't even as committed as you guys, where I was like, all right, maybe I'll try like once or twice a week. So I was kind of playing around with it. And really, it was like very underwhelming. Like, I wasn't seeing a lot of traction or anything. And then just separately from doing TikTok, I was at a point in my business. I'm pretty sure it was the end of last August. So actually, like a year ago-ish, a little less than a year ago, where, and I know you are very familiar with this conversation of like, should I get a side hustle? Should I, like, what's the long-term financial situation look like for me? And it's basically like where I was always afloat, but it was stressful, like just art, selling art and being an art business. And Instagram was like being so difficult, and like the algorithm was being so challenging. And I felt like I was always kind of half-assing it because I just like resisted it and didn't want to do it. And I don't know, I just had this kind of like medium energy, like this limbo energy of like, am I fully in or am I out? Not with being an artist, but just the online business aspect of it, you know? And for whatever reason, I kind of just had this moment where I was like, okay, I need to know for real, like how sustainable this is going to be for me. And like, what is my potential in terms of growth, really? And the only way I can really answer that question is if I just decidedly go all in. And if I go all in and come the end of the year, the ground is still shaky, then I know the answer. Like, I know that I did the best I can do, and maybe it's still going to be shaky ground. So that was really like the intention. And so I
And
was like, all right.
that was in August, you said, of last year, like a
Yeah.
year.
So I was like, okay, I'll give myself like whatever, like 3.5 months or something. And I'll just do what I think the algorithm wants. Like, I will just literally play the game and see what happens. Like, see if that actually helps. 'Cause I felt like it's kind of this lie. Like, they want you to play by all these algorithmic rules and then it doesn't even work. And then it's just like a waste of energy. And that happened to me a lot. And so I think I was like, all right, let's just really put this to the test and see what happens. And so really, actually, it was more about Instagram because I wasn't really seeing that much TikTok growth, but I just included TikTok in it just because I was already doing it. And then what happened is just by random luck and just trying different things, I had one video do really well. I think like at the time it was like 600,000 views, which at the time, not having a big following on TikTok, I was like, wow, that's crazy, bro. Like, okay. Like, I didn't know that that was possible. And then from that happening, I think I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
I'm
that
just
was just what
curious,
happened.
what was that video?
Dude. It's so. It's just a video of,
Video, don't worry about it.
it's a video of random process shots of my work. And it really went viral because of the audio, which is something we'll talk more about. It's like the magic combination for me has been the engaging audio plus engaging video, which I think is like kind of an overall TikTok thing. But it was so random. It was like I came home from dance and it was like 10 o'clock at night and I was scrolling on TikTok and it was just this video of Cardi B at a concert. And she said, she was like, if you bitches don't have, this is what it said. It's like, if you bitches don't have a job, if you're not in school, it was like, get you a motherfucking sugar daddy. And for some reason, I just like thought that was really funny. And I was like, yeah, if you're an artist. And so I just paired that audio. And it wasn't like a popular audio. That was the thing too. It was like just something that had randomly come up on my feed. Like it wasn't trending, so people hadn't really heard it. I just took that and put it over a process video of me painting. And I just put like in the text on screen, like asterisks, like if you're an artist. So then it kind of reads like if you're an artist. get yourself a sugar
yeah.
daddy.
Oh, I remember that now that you say it.
Yeah.
Remember that very
and, like, it's so not even like the most politically correct thing in so many ways. And of course, what happens on TikTok is the more it blows up, the more you're going to reach people who have negative things to say about it. And that was kind of an experience. But ultimately, it's kind of funny that that was the first one, because that funny audio with processed video did end up being kind of like my formula for success all throughout. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was it. It was random. It was on a whim. I was just like, this is kind of edgy and it's funny. Fuck it. Like, kind of thing.
And then, so when that went so viral, did you get a bunch of followers from that too?
Yeah, I got a bunch of followers. Yeah.
Okay. And did you have sales from that right away?
No, I didn't. Yeah, that was a big question for me. Like, as I started getting traction and like learning how to use it, and that I think I expressed to you many times, I was like, wow, this is really exciting. But I really don't care if it's not going to be actually good for my business, you know? And for a long time, I was really like, I don't know, man, aren't there just like a bunch of 18-year-olds on this app? Like, are they really going to buy stuff? Like, only time will tell. And that lasted for a little while. But ultimately, I have grown a lot in sales from TikTok. But yeah, at that time, I didn't know if I would.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you had the one video pop off, as
yeah.
you said.
Yeah.
And then what happened from there? Also, did you put that video on Instagram too? I think I remember you did.
I did. Yeah. Because I was kind of wanting to test it. I was like, if this did so well on TikTok, I wonder how it will do on Instagram. And it just did okay on Instagram. Like, it wasn't a flop, but it wasn't nowhere near what happened on TikTok. And so, yeah, I guess that is something to say, is that these platforms are very different. Well, Instagram is becoming more like TikTok. So there's that. But ultimately, like, the way, especially if you've been on Instagram as an artist for a while, the way you're kind of wired to approach Instagram is not really the way you should be approaching TikTok. So yeah, maybe I'll just leave that there.
So what happened from there? And wait, how far into that, like, challenge for yourself for the end of the year, how far in was it that that happened?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm trying to, like,
think
of
it. Was pretty early on.
Yeah, I think it was. Maybe it was like a month in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly kind of, like, 2 to 3 months in, I kind of forgot. I think I was even doing that. But I was kind of in the habit of, like, doing a lot of social media just at that period of time, maybe from that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I was like 1 month in.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
And then from there, did it just keep growing? Were there some that would, like, bomb, and then some that
totally
would, yeah.
Yeah. TikTok seems to be, like, really inconsistent, where it's like you could do so well and so many new people could find you, or you can have a lot of followers and seriously have the same amount of views as somebody with, like, 2 followers, like, literally 2 followers. So it's really not even dependent on how many followers you have, like, which is both a good and a bad thing, depending on where you're at in terms of how many people are going to see your videos. It's really just about if people watch it and engage with it. It's, like, not about, even on Instagram, like, it doesn't show your video or your posts to many of your followers, but it's still kind of based on your followers. It's usually a percentage of your followers. It's a low ass percent, but it's a very small percent, but it more people will see it if you have more followers, usually.
Yeah.
And on TikTok, that doesn't really seem to be the case. It's just almost like every video is kind of standalone. So that's, like, been interesting.
It's pretty refreshing in a way.
Yeah, totally.
There's not this pressure to, like, build this following.
Yeah.
It's a totally different mindset in posting stuff on there versus Instagram, or just, like, how to engage with an audience on there versus your audience on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's hopeful too that like you could start TikTok with no following and you could have a video do well and excel very quickly. And I don't think that's the case really on Instagram. Although I keep bringing it back to Instagram is behaving more and more like TikTok as time goes on. So maybe that is starting to get more built in there, but yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right. So, I guess I will. Oh yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, maybe you were going here already, but I was just wondering when you started to see sales from being on TikTok.
That's a really good question. I probably should have researched before this call and thought about that answer. So I'm going to think about it on the spot. Because I'm trying to remember like what I released at that time. I actually don't think I had an experience of sales rolling in. I would really have to go back and look, but I really think at least until December or even the next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I kind of learned my way with that too, where it was like, if I knew I was going to do a video, that kind of met my formula, and therefore was likely to do well, not guaranteed. I wanted to have a product available on my website that would be a quick buy and like correlate directly to that. And so I kind of learned to highlight the paintings that I already had prints of, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that is where I think, again, I think I came into it by accident. I think I had one experience where a post of a painting did really well. And then just by happenstance, people went and bought a bunch of that print. And then I was like, oh, I see how this could work, kind of a thing. And then I kind of tried to like keep replicating that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you feel like seeing that result has changed your, even just like your business plan? I don't know if you want to get into that, but.
Yeah, no, it totally has. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm like, what do I want to reveal here?
So you've always done prints.
Yeah, I have always done prints and they've always done well. I haven't always done them, but for the past couple of years, I've been doing them before TikTok. And the embellished ones do well. I think they're at a good price point for people. They're at a good price point for me to profit. And usually, actually, I guess I can just share numbers here. Like there's no reason to hide numbers. I think usually in a launch of a print or like a release of a print, on average, I was selling 10 to 12 per release. And then more would sell over time. But like in that instant release.
10 to 12 prints.
Prints, yeah. Okay, and the prints, no.
I was like, holy, weed, Matt, tell me that.
Yeah, you didn't know your friend was balling over here. No.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be, which is good. Like the prints are over $100 or my profit is $100 a print. So like, that's pretty good. Right. I was fine with that. So that's how I was doing. Now, just, I think given overall growth. So some of the TikTok has come to Instagram. And so then those people are like following up or they're engaging with the release dates and stuff. Now I think I took it maybe from that to about like, upon release, like 15 to 17, like real. And when I say upon release, I kind of mean like within the first 3 days. So that's like an improvement, but really where I've actually seen the financial growth is like not necessarily during the release date, but it's just when a video does well. And then if I already have them on my website, I could just randomly see like a huge influx in orders. And that was definitely not happening before. Definitely before, like somebody might make their way to the website here and there to like buy a couple if I wasn't talking about it on Instagram or whatever. But now it's like I have this whole other like, I guess like somewhat passive income print experience. And that, I mean, truly has been a game changer for my business. Has been pretty cool. Has also meant a lot of shipping.
Yeah. And you bought your first, you bought your label maker. because of it.
Hell yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh my God. I should do a whole episode on label makers. You don't have a label maker. Usually I don't. No, I said, if you don't have a label maker, you should get one. You're like, I have a label maker. No, but I remember you and then Catherine, my other friend, forever were like, dude, you're still going to the post office and like paying at the front? Like, how many years have you been doing this? I'm like, it's fine. I can't believe I was doing that.
Me either.
Yeah.
Go over the holidays too and all that.
Oh, I would wait in like an hour line, just me and like a huge like box of prints, like waiting to pay for them individually. It's so stupid. Yeah. So yeah. That's my full ass TikTok story.
Yeah, I love it. It's so inspiring. And yeah, it's interesting how, I mean, just like anything with self-employment, it's never like a guaranteed, you know, monthly income unless you're on retainer with a client or something. But it's really interesting that you'll just get this influx of income when like directly related to a video going viral. I feel like that's something very different than going viral on like Instagram back in the day. I don't know why. I mean, it's never really happened to me. So maybe I don't know. But
yeah, you know what though? I have to say, like in comparison, so I've tried to then like employ some of my techniques on Instagram too. And I've had a couple, like since doing this, I've had a couple on Instagram, like reels do pretty well. I haven't had anything reach a million, but I've definitely had like 500,000, like in those numbers. And I have just a couple, not like a lot. But I don't see the same sales influx from those actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is interesting. Cause I would have, and maybe that's just personal to me. Like, I don't know, but I think I would have thought that Instagram people are more likely to buy. And I think where that's true is, yeah, my Instagram followers are more likely to buy, but if something blows up right like that, they're pushing it out to people who don't know you. Same for TikTok. So it just seems like the people who don't know you on Instagram are less likely to buy than the people who don't know you on TikTok. That's what I've come
to.
That's
so interesting.
Yeah. Why
that is, do you think it's just like the mindset, or is it a different type of person?
I do not have the answer to. Well, actually, this just came to mind. I do think there's way more artists on Instagram. So it might be the case that people see way more cool art on Instagram than they see on TikTok. I do think that that's true, because I've tried to find like really cool artists on TikTok, and I've tried because I want to see what other people are doing. I haven't really seen all that many, like not compared to Instagram. Granted, I can go look up the people I already follow on Instagram that I like and find them on TikTok. And then like, obviously their work is cool, or I like them. But just in terms of like what's getting pushed to the top, like if you go surf the hashtags, or even like, you know, my feed knows I like art. So even the things that it shows me, so that could be one thing. Like, it's just a more saturated market on TikTok, or sorry, on Instagram. That's the only thing I can think of, but people might be in a different mode. I don't know when they're on that app.
I feel like just personally, this isn't necessarily art related, but I feel like Instagram is just, I hate, oh no, I'm not even going to say the word.
Say it.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
I'm going to say it feels less authentic. But I just feel like there's a lot of sponsored.
Yeah.
And TikTok feels much more like grassroots, and it has that feeling to it where you're kind of finding something that's like really cool and before other people have found it, or it's something like really, I just think about the random like products that people post about on there that aren't sponsored, or like little recipes or something. And I'm so much more open, and I'm like, oh, there's going to be a good like secret on here that hasn't been like the masses yet.
Yeah.
That's something just mindset wise, but I mean, I do feel like that might be changing a little bit. I've been seeing more sponsored TikTok posts. Like it'll say.
Yeah, it'll say, I see that too.
What does it say? Commission or something.
I think they say sponsored.
Yeah, it's something like that. Or like eligible for.
Or like paid partnership with.
Yeah, something like that. And then when I see that, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, of course, I skip right past it. I think that's actually a really good point. It does have that feeling of, like you're finding something. Whereas on Instagram, and I've done this too, so I'm not knocking it, like it has become a business platform for many, many people. Mm-hmm. Again, that's how I use it, not knocking it. But it makes sense that then as a consumer, you're just so used to being pushed and sold and directed to LinkedIn links and bios like all the time, you know? Yeah. Whereas TikTok, even with the sponsored posts, you can tell like they're trying to make those sponsored posts look like they're just a regular TikTok post, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as much that way. Although that can change. So yeah, I think that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, maybe I will, because I've kind of alluded to it a couple times, and since we're just on the like TikTok, Instagram comparison, maybe I'll just say some practical things about how as a vomit content creator.
You are a content creator.
I hate that. I hate it so much. But
we all are. We're all content.
We all are. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like, do you like money? Do you like eating? Do you like driving? Do you like having a place to live? And are you an artist? If so, you might want to try social media. Unfortunately.
You could like clip that as the intro. That's so good.
Yeah.
Like eating.
Do you like, do you like food on the table? Okay, so on that note, if you are a content creator, from that perspective, like the ways that TikTok, approaching TikTok should be different than, I'm going to keep saying like the old ways of Instagram, because again, something I actually want to put at the top of this conversation is, even if you're not interested in adding TikTok into your life, which valid, we all spend enough time on social media, and especially as artists, like it's really overwhelming. So even if that's the case for you, I think learning these strategies, like learning how to use TikTok as TikTok, and even doing that on Instagram is only going to benefit you, because more and more Instagram is adopting the model of engaging watch time, pushing it out to new people, video, like the whole format. And I've noticed that because the videos that I make with TikTok strategy in mind, just out of laziness, I'll be like, all right, I guess I should put this on Instagram too. And those tend to be the ones that do better on Instagram now. That wasn't always the case, but I see that happening. So I think learning this approach can only benefit you on both platforms. So I'll just start with that. So the main way it's different is that on Instagram, you're kind of trying to connect, talk, and share with the people who already know and follow you. So it's interesting to them for you to be like, here's a new material I'm trying out. Here's an insight into my studio routine. Like these very like personable and intimate things that helps them make a deeper connection with you, the artist. I think that's a great thing to do on Instagram, by the way, if you're looking for ideas. But on TikTok, you have to imagine, for the most part, I mean, there's a time and a place to switch this, but especially when you're getting started, you have to imagine your video is going out to somebody who does not know you. They've never seen you before. And your job is basically to like introduce them to your work in a way that's engaging and they want to keep watching. That's it. It's totally, and sometimes that can be done with an intimate connection. I'm not saying those things can't go together, but you can just see how, if you're creating with that in mind, it's different than how you talk to an audience that already knows and follows you. So that's just, I think that's the main difference. It's more, and because of that, unfortunately, I don't love this, but it is just the way it works. it's to your benefit to think about what grabs and holds attention. Again, not a bad thing to implement into your Instagram strategy, but really on TikTok. I think that's really, really the case. So just start the conversation there. yeah. So, okay. There's a couple places we could go from here. I kind of want to turn it back to you a little bit because I feel like I've done so much talking.
Oh no, this is great. You just keep
going. Yeah, I know you love it. You're like, and so tell me more. Because we talked a lot about like my story with success and seeing things kind of pop off and whatnot. Do you maybe just want to share what your experience has been like with social media and just like where you're at and like what you're thinking about? Because I think it's really the majority of people right now and is like relatable.
Yeah. Well, I had a really good experience with social media back in the day. And like between 2014 and 2018, basically, those were the good days for me.
For everyone.
Yeah, I guess for all of us. Yeah, I just felt like I was growing on there. I was seeing results and like people wanting to support my work and even getting opportunities. And Instagram, I feel like, just fit me really well as a writer and as a visual person. And then, yeah, obviously the algorithm and everything shifted so much after that. And I've also changed the style of my work a few times. I've been working in a different medium. I've like totally changed everything about my work has changed. My subject, my style, my colors, everything. And I think because of that, I've like lost a good chunk of my older audience that was kind of built on this more like illustrative style, very like outdoorsy, nature oriented. I was like traveling and living in a van. And then I kind of stepped more into like being a painter, and now I'm doing like ceramics and all this other stuff. So I feel like I keep losing and losing and losing people. And on Instagram, at least, I'm not finding any like new people, but that's like a whole other beast. With TikTok, I feel like I'm slowly gaining some traction there, but I just don't really know what I'm doing. And I haven't found that like magic, you know, formula for me yet. Mm-hmm. And so video, I think, is just really overwhelming to me, like, especially when I was first starting. Now that I've done it more, I'm starting to like figure out, I'm learning from your ways and I'm starting to get it a little bit, but like taking video while I'm working, it takes away from my practice in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah.
So like, I find that frustrating, but then other than that, I just don't know what to do. I feel like this is just like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
My insecurities or whatever. I'm not like judging anyone or anything like that, but I feel like to do well on TikTok, you have to be like funny or, or like have something really catchy. And I just feel like I don't have any of those things. So I'm just like,
you are hilarious. I tell you that all the time, but keep going.
No, I'm just like this sad girl that likes to listen to sad music. And I just feel like it has a hard time on TikTok. So anyway, I don't know if that like makes sense with,
I think it makes tons of sense. I am very much imagining like most people listening are like, oh my God, same. Like 100%. Because, you know, as special as you are, I have other art friends and they all pretty much mirror your sentiments. Mm-hmm. Actually, I can't really think of one that doesn't for the most mm-hmm. part. So I think it's not you. I tell you this all the time. And I would tell anybody this, like, it's the way of the algorithm and just like how these things are designed. And I also just wanted to add, like, because you mentioned how much you've changed your work and stuff, and I've said this to you before, but like, that's like a brave, admirable choice, you know, and you should be really proud of that. And I think for anybody, I know this is like, for a lot of people, I get a lot of students come to me like, oh, I keep changing, like, I don't have a thing. And I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe that's not the key to winning the algorithm, but that is the key to like your most true work, if that's what you want to do, which is like why we're doing all this in the first place. So the fact that like you've stayed true to that in spite of the fact that like it hasn't done well with the algorithm, I think is actually probably the most impressive thing that we could talk about. So I just want to highlight that. Thanks. Yeah, because that should be the priority before any of this, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like 100%. This is social media and TikTok and stuff, it's just like superficial cherry on the cake, maybe another way for somebody to create another income stream, but it's certainly not the point. Of course, we know that, you know?
Yeah. But I want it to work out for me.
Like, yeah,
especially seeing you and like how you've found these like new income streams and like some more stability as a working artist. Like, that's so amazing. And I like, I think we all want to have that. So I want to figure out what will work for me and my work, but I just feel like I have a harder time like fitting in to the way it, to what does well on TikTok.
I really do think it is just a matter of like finding your thing. And I think, I don't think there is anybody who doesn't, where it's like, oh, this can't be for me. Like, side note, I actually listened when I did start getting growth on TikTok. I was like, damn, I should learn how to use this thing. So I like tried to listen to TikTok podcasts. There are no good ones, by the way. But I did find this, I don't know, I found something, someone, some quote unquote expert, but basically they were saying like really boring businesses do really well on TikTok. Obviously this is a realm we're not a part of, so I probably haven't seen this, but apparently like plumbers and like just random things like can do really well. So I don't think that there's any barrier that says like you have to be a certain way. But I do think you have to find, it is like finding a formula that for whatever weird reason works for you. And I guess we can maybe get into like where to start or what some ingredients might be for that, if you want to.
Yeah. That's so funny that you say plumbers and like, cause I've seen those accounts.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I've seen the plumbers and like the car sales people.
Yeah.
And they just have some like young person that I think part of what I've seen do well on TikTok is just like places that don't take themselves too seriously and just don't really like give a shit and like make fun of themselves. But you have to know like what is happening on TikTok in order to do that. You can't just like come in and like, it's like a niche in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Well, there's a lot of different ways to use it. And one of the ways is to be very up on trends and what's happening and like almost like be in conversation with the TikTok algorithm. I really don't do that, but I do see people doing that. It's way too much work for me, but that is a way that
people
definitely use it. Yeah. It's one way. Man, one thing I felt compelled to say to you, I'm just going to say it anyway. When you were talking about like being a sad girl and, sorry if you can hear that. There's a dog crawling out from under the table. Just like being a sad girl. And I forget what else you said with that. But I kept thinking, I was like, but you have yet to do a voiceover talking about your work on TikTok. Because I don't think being a sad girl is a turnoff. But first of all, you are many things. Personally, I think that your TikTok, I've told you this, the ones where you are being funny on TikTok are so funny to me. And I'm like, I don't know why these haven't gone viral. I think it's just a matter of time. So you do have that, PS. But in other news, I think like actually leaning into it, because like, I don't do anything funny. I post funny audios, but if I'm talking, it's usually pretty serious. Like if you quote unquote serious, like, yeah, it's usually me like talking about the meaning in the work or like whatever, you know, like I don't have that ability to, I don't know, make these like funny art videos that I've seen. I'm probably not going to do that. And anytime I've tried, it honestly doesn't do well because it's not my thing. So I don't think that that's a requirement. And I think you could embrace the sad girl. And I think it could do very well. Side note.
Okay. Maybe we should do a series that's just like you, us, like you're coaching me, trying to figure out my thing. And then we're like, oh, Amanda, like case study started at 198 followers. And then it's just like all these videos of us throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what's going to blow up.
Dude, I kind of love that. And then like every week we could check in and be like, so how did the video we talk about, how did it go? Let's look at what worked and what didn't work. That would actually be super kind of fun. It'd also be really time consuming, but I might be kind of down. Listeners, if you want that, hit us up. Maybe it'll be a Patreon thing or
TV. It'd be like a 15 minute check-in.
Yeah, just like a short content check-ins with Amanda.
This worked. I found my thing.
Well, it would be so cool if people were following along and then all of a sudden it was like, Amanda went viral. We did it. That'd be sick. For everyone. Okay, pin that as an idea.
Anyway,
okay. Yeah, so okay, here are the things. If I was like looking for my formula, again, caveat, I'm not an expert. I truly don't think anybody is an expert on TikTok. Like, it hasn't been out that long. It's changing all the time. Like, it's bullshit to be like, I've mastered it, but I'm just like, here's what I've seen, here's what's worked for me. Y'all's formula could be totally different. And I think that's the beauty of TikTok, is like, I see completely different things working for different people. So all that being said, here's what I've got. So some of this will probably be obvious to some people, but TikTok is big on the sound. So actually, I might be too lazy to edit that out. That's not where I want to start.
Take that back. Keep it raw and authentic, girl.
Gotta have that vulnerable, authentic lesson number one about social media. Keep it authentic. Okay, hot mess. No, where I would start, and I already kind of said this, is looking at it from the perspective of it's all about watch time. Okay, so that means you want to keep people watching for as long as possible and even rewatching the video. So that's like what you want at the top of your mind. So that also means you kind of have about 2 seconds or less to hook people. So the most attention grabbing thing better be in the beginning or a hook. And a hook could be visual or in text. So an example of a text hook, this is like the most classic one I've seen for artists, right? And I've done this myself. Feel free to steal this. There is nothing sacred here. Is the artist standing with their work flipped around and there's some music that you know is gonna like hit some sort of transition, and that's an implied hook, right? Because you're like, ooh, what's gonna happen when they turn around the canvas? I'm gonna watch and see what it is. Like, there is a reason for you to keep watching. So it can be subtle like that. It doesn't have to be obvious, but there needs to be some sort of hook. A lot of the times my hook will just be in my sound, which is I think why I almost started with sound. My formula, for whatever weirdo reason, is a comedy audio over a process video, because people want to hear the end of the comedy audio. But then it brings more people into the art. And I mean, honestly, most of the comments end up being about the art, but I think it increases the watch time. So it pushes it out to more people. That's what's worked for me. It doesn't always work, but a lot of times it does. The other thing I do, and this is more work on my end, is I will talk, like I will do a voiceover, and I try even in the first thing I say in the voiceover to make it something that hopefully the person is inclined to keep listening to, because they want to find out the ending, they want to hear what I'm going to say. So hook, that's important. You can, I mean, there's also obvious hooks, like if you're going to do a text on screen thing, it's like what not to do as an artist. People love negative hooks. P.S. This is just something I've seen from the people teaching TikTok on TikTok. is like what I would not do, materials to not use, like those are obviously, if you're going to do like teaching content, more obvious, but they don't need to be like that. They can be visually implied. They can be like an audio. That's like my main thing. Mm-hmm.
So TikTok will push your videos out more if people are staying for the whole video.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if it's shorter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, if it's shorter, I mean, okay, so there's like nitty gritty theories about if you can get people to watch for a longer video versus a shorter video, it'll do better or not. I really don't know. Maybe it's too much for me to think about. I'm just like, the goal is keep people watching regardless of what it is. And of course, engaging. So people are always likely to share and engage with things that they like. So it all kind of goes together. But I guess to answer your thing about a short video, like I'm sure engagement plays a role too, as like in addition to watch time.
Yeah. I have something very random and specific.
Let's hear it.
Have you seen that sound going around that's just like, it's like 1 second or like half a second. It's like da 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 da, and it keeps repeating. And so the theory is like, I've just seen all these posts that are like, use the sound before TikTok removes it, because it's like half a second. So you get,
because you have to watch it over and over.
Yeah. So you get like each person watches it for like 20 times or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that actually works.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe we could try it later.
Okay. Give me the first piece in our content journeys with Amanda. the half second sound. Yeah, I have seen stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's so many technical tricks I won't get into because honestly, like it's just overwhelming. But and I don't do these things. I see these things and I'm like, yeah, that's too much work. But another thing people will do is they'll basically make it so that the end of their video loops and connects to the beginning of the video so that you don't even realize the video is ending and it'll autoplay super smoothly. And then it takes a couple seconds and you're like, oh wait, I'm watching this from the start. It's almost like you got a play and a half.
Oh, interesting.
This is like some technical bullshit.
Yeah.
But this is what I've seen. So I'm just going to say, I don't do that.
Okay.
But that's it.
Keep people engaged, keep them watching through as much as you can, and make it a hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing, and it kind of goes along with this, is to have kind of like a story arc. Which I hate because it just requires a lot of thought. You don't have to do this every time, but something that I've seen does well, and again, Instagram too, is let's just use the process video as an example. It's like you do a process video from start to finish, and then you show the piece at the end. Like, I think a satisfying end result is a good recipe for engagement and shares. So obviously as artists, we don't always have that. Like I only have that like 3 times a year at this rate. But those videos do well, like if you can put them together. Text on screen, captions, like now there's like SEO, basically they're going to make TikTok more of a searchable engine like YouTube. So the more text you use to tie your content to like certain topics and categories will help get it out there. But those are really my main tips. My main tip is honestly watch time and have a hook. Like that's what I go off of. Of course you can use trends. Like I think a good place to start if you need ideas for content is go follow some artists and go see what their best videos are and see what format they did and why you think it worked. You know, that's something I did when I was starting. And I really saw this like kind of reveal format a lot. Or of course something, you know, like ASMR videos, something appealing in that sense, does do well too.
Okay. I do have another like specific question about sounds really quick.
Okay.
How do you find audio? Like how do you find sounds that aren't songs? Like where do you get comedy audios from? Because like when you go to search sounds, it's just music.
Yeah, I don't usually, anything like that is not something I've searched for. In fact, I hardly use searched audios unless I'm searching for like a specific song that I know I want to use. I get them from videos. So like I look at comedy accounts, I just see what pops up in my feed. Like even people making stupid videos themselves, it's not necessarily stand-up comedy, but like they said something funny. You can just click on that sound button and save that sound and reuse it. That's how I kind of try to pay attention. Like when I'm scrolling through TikTok and like, I think something's funny and I'll be like, why did I watch that till the end? That is so dumb. but then I'll realize like, but I did watch it till the end. So for whatever reason, like if it's what they were saying, for whatever reason, that was engaging. And that's just like a tip off to me that I should save that audio. Even if I judge it, even if I'm like, that is so stupid.
Oh, that's a really good tip.
Yeah. Yeah. So pay attention.
Can you save the audio of any video?
Yeah.
Because why do people say like, can you make this a sound?
It's because if they, okay, how do I explain this? If I go on TikTok and I make a video of myself talking, and then I add music to that video, it's the music that will show up.
Oh.
And you won't get my voice talking unless beforehand, like in CapCut, PS, I recommend CapCut for editing, period. Don't edit in the app. It's better for the algorithm. It's worse for your mental health. So if you were to make it in CapCut and let's say I like recorded my voice and then added a song to it and then uploaded it to TikTok, you would be able to save that sound and it would sound like my voice plus the song. But if you do it in app and you add a song in app, it will only link to that song. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That always confused me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm old.
So if like one time for me, I was like, I'm going to use a clip from the podcast. Because maybe that will help get the podcast out there. I didn't really run very far with that. But yeah. I wanted to make sure to save that sound and label it as like Art and Magic Podcast and mm-hmm. not put music over it. So from that perspective, if your strategy is to create an engaging sound for people to use, that's something to think about.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else like practically... One thing I do just want to say as kind of a disclaimer is even though there's tons of growth potential with TikTok, and that's really exciting, it's still an algorithm. It's not like a magic thing. I will say as awesome as it's been, it's also been extremely inconsistent. And I'm just saying this like not to deter anybody, but I want you to know it's normal. Yeah, there's kind of this thing where your video can either do really well or it might just only reach 100 people. And it really doesn't matter how many followers you have. That can happen to somebody with 100,000 followers. It can happen to somebody with one follower, literally. And so because of that, because it doesn't really seem that your views grow that much in accordance with your follower growth, it almost feels like you're always kind of at square one. Whereas on Instagram, the more followers you acquire, even though the algorithm only shows your content to a small percentage of those followers, you do kind of get this general sense, like you over time have growth and more people engaging with you. And on TikTok, your best hope for that is if they, surprise, surprise, go to your newsletter or go find you on Instagram, which does happen. I have had growth in that way. I have had those things transfer over 100%. But just as far as TikTok goes, like me, this is something I've been navigating, right? So as prints from these videos that do well have become part of my income, I'm like, okay, can I reliably create that? And the answer is yes and no. so far, like I'm still figuring it out. It's not entirely consistent. And I don't know if there's a way to make it entirely consistent. I mean, the best bet is to just be strategic and be consistent with the app, but even still, like there is some luck involved, I think.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting. It's almost like TikTok is more like you're making ads.
Mm-hmm.
Every video is like an ad. Whereas on Instagram, it's more of like building this audience, or it used to be, maybe not as much anymore, but that's like the mindset. It's like,
yeah, definitely. 100%. Yeah. It's like, okay, I need to grow. I need more people to know about me and see my work. I haven't quite figured out how to keep those people engaged or continue my videos showing up on their feed. I have seen, again, people teaching TikTok on TikTok talk about how you can actually think of your content as like a certain percent being intended to reach new people and provide you with growth, and then a certain percent aimed at people who already follow you and like fostering those connections. I do that a little bit. I think my best way of doing that is when I do an audio where I just talk about my work. But other than that, I haven't quite figured out how to have those connection type videos do as well. So I'm still navigating that, but I have heard that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a lot.
It is. I'm processing.
Yeah, it's a lot. Okay. One thing I wanted to kind of ask you, like, just in this experience that you've had with feeling like your work has transitioned and social media hasn't been like that fruitful at this time for you. Like, I know people are going to resonate with that. So I wonder if you could talk about like how you keep yourself motivated, or maybe sometimes you don't, like what keeps you going? How have you dealt with it? Cause I know that can be, before this, I was feeling that on Instagram too. It's so like demoralizing, you know, and discouraging. And yeah, like just if you had advice for people going through the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I have advice, but I could just see what I've done.
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest positive shift for me has been, moving away from being a working artist full time. Like, I've always had little, you know, gigs on the side, but for the last few years, I was mainly being a working artist. That's how I primarily made my income, which was not much. And I think with the algorithms shifting, it was becoming like an increasingly toxic place for me, because it's like you already compare yourself to other people you see online. But then when there's also like the stress financially on top of it, it was like killing my practice and my creativity, like even just as a person, like even outside of my art practice, it was just like really harming me, I felt. So I think shifting into doing more design work and then just taking all that pressure off of my art has helped me a lot, because now, like, I still want to do well on social media, but my well-being doesn't rely on it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, taking that step back has just made it way less pressureful for me. It's just like, oh, when something tanks, I'm like, oh, that sucks. Oh, well, like,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter, like, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So that has really helped. And then I also think just over the last like year, basically, I've become much more engaged in like a local artist community, a real life community. And that has had its own challenges with like my studio. We do these events, these like First Friday events. Every First Friday of the month, we open our studios up to the public and people can come in and buy stuff and see our work. And that's been a whole other thing that has been mentally taxing.
Yeah.
But it has been nice to like step back from social media being like my only way to reach people, for people to see my work. And then, yeah, just like engaging in a real life community has helped me a lot with like grounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like mainly it's just been those two things.
Yeah. It seems like you really created ways for you to be less attached.
Yes.
To the outcome, which I think is really important, because even if you're unattached, even if you are a trust fund baby, like, mm-hmm. and don't need money, mm-hmm. social media, like the way it operates on your brain is stressful.
Yes.
And so then when you add all this other stuff on top of it, it can be really hard. So like whether you are using it for your business, like I am, or using it just like to share and just doing it with less pressure in the way that you are, you want to try to avoid leaning on it like emotionally, or yeah. I guess sometimes some of us have to lean on it financially, but as much as possible, like creating other options, creating distance, because it's really hard to create content where so much is riding on it anyway. Like it's just, creating content is already stressful. Then it makes it more stressful.
Yes. Yeah. It's mainly been just like a mindset shift, but in order for me to do that, I had to change some like practical things in my life, like the money and all of that, where I'm getting paid and,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I still struggle with it obviously, but I'm in a much better place than I was before.
Yeah. And I just want to add too, like just business-wise, it's smart to have these other things, because social yeah. media is, as we've seen, always changing. Like on a flip of a dime, Instagram and TikTok could be like, you're at the bottom now. And like this could end for me at any time, you know? And mm-hmm. we all experienced that with Instagram. And again, so that's why I bring it back to get people in your newsletter.
Yes. Your podcast. Start a podcast.
Yeah. The podcast is helpful in that way. Get people on your newsletter.
Go to actual art events.
Yeah. And then, yes, exactly. Thank you. I was like, oh, I have a thought about the newsletter. But yes. And then balance out your income streams, balance out your exposure. Like taking pressure off is always a good thing, no matter where you're at with it. Yeah.
I take Sundays. Well, I used to. I'm trying to do it again. Take Sundays off of social media.
Yeah.
That's like insanely helpful. Interesting choice of words. Insanely helpful for my mental health. But yeah, just detaching like in as many ways as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good note to end on. I'm trying to think if there was anything else we wanted to say, but I think that we kind of covered it.
Yeah. I think that's a good note to end on too.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this stuff is really like volatile and,
oh my God,
you know, it's so important to just like stay grounded, and it's fun that you can, you know, see such like results, and like, it's very motivating to me and in like a really uplifting way to see someone actually like doing well on these platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is good to remember that you just never know what's going to happen with it. So
not to mention, this is something we were going to talk about, but I'll just kind of slip it in at the end. Obviously there are worse problems to have, but when you do start getting a lot of activity on any of these platforms, it's very overwhelming and it's very, energy consuming and ungrounding. And mm-hmm. so like in either scenario, staying connected to your work and to your community, taking breaks from your phone, I for real need to take a lesson from you in that regard.
You do. It's been a while. I need to do it.
It's hard. But yeah, all of that is like the most important thing, especially like if you are going to add on TikTok and add in all this new stuff that like we talked about today, like balancing out with grounding practices is probably equally important. So
yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on to talk about this. I didn't want to talk about this alone. I was like, I do not just want to do an episode of me talking at you guys about TikTok. That sounds so boring to me. So I really appreciate you coming on to like make it more of a conversation and weave in like another perspective. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really appreciate you as a friend.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too.
We recently just said that for the
first time. Yeah, we just started a new level in our relationship. So I'm glad we made it public.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm excited. I feel like I have new things that I learned today. So yeah, more to come when we start our series.
Right? For real, if you guys want to know.
Thank you so much to Amanda for coming on for this. I highly encourage you to check out both her work and her design studio, which is Gentle Sentiments, and I will link her Instagram and website in the show notes. I will see you all in another 2 weeks for another episode, but until then, I'm sending you lots of love and tons of magic.